Hi there, I'm Oliver, and with me tonight is...
Z's. Nice to meet you guys.
It's 29th for the 3rd, 2014, and tonight we are doing podcast. It is back, finally. We've got quite a few things to talk about today.
How many weeks has it been since we last did this? Well, I haven't done this in a while, but...
I think the right question is, how many months?
Yeah. It's been a while.
Wasn't it last year?
It was last year. My God.
Yeah.
Was it late November, early December, I think?
Yes, I think the latest one might have been sometime in December. I think we slipped back a bit on the schedule.
Hopefully
so let's try and fix that.
Weekly podcast on incoming, guys.
Maybe. Famous last words.
Maybe, yeah.
Before we get into what we're doing tonight, let's just do the plugs. An OTR podcast, which Monday 9 PM EST with Logic Slayer, Big Slow, and Bob Titanic. We've got the comic related podcast with Mike and Will. We've got Angel's Eagle Trip, one I very much recommend. And the streaming bandwidth is provided by the TNT Podcast Network.
So a brief rundown of what we'll be doing this episode is the US government and the internet part ways. Nobody but Google can look at your emails.
Okay, do you want to take the first one and I'll copy link over?
Okay, the first thing we have tonight is Titanfall Dev explains the game's 35 gigabytes of uncompressed audio. Respawn says Titanfall's gargantuan file size is so they can dedicate more system resources to running the game. PC gamers, especially those with SSDs, were puzzled to find out that Titanfall had a gargantuan 48 gigabyte file size. That's about the size of one of the higher grade Blu-rays, isn't it?
Yeah, it's getting up there. I think Blu-rays can hold about 50 gigs.
Yeah, 50 gigs or something. That is ridiculous.
And that's just audio.
Respawn has now explained that the reason the audio was not compressed was so that it could dedicate more system resources to running the game and less to unpacking audio files.
What a crock of shit.
That is a load of shit, however I have heard that. I mean, like, what? 35 gigs of audio. I understand that they're probably storing that in lossless, right?
Mm.
But... 300, please correct me if I'm wrong, but 320 kbps is like the highest we can actually hear with our ears. Like, is the, anything above that is, does not.
It's for the dogs.
Yeah. There's no real difference between the two. I mean, I am a huge FLAC enthusiast, but it's just not worth it.
I don't listen to all that much FLAC stuff because, to me at least, it sounds pretty much the same quality-wise as MP3 files, but despite the FLAC files being slightly bigger because of the quality, I assume that's in it, it doesn't justify 35 gigs.
Oh no, definitely not. Not on a game, at least. I mean, what the hell are they thinking? I think they probably just forgot. For me, I'm loving Titanfall, but geez, does that 48 gigabyte size make my 240 gig SSD cry. Since it apparently wouldn't affect the performance on my high-level PC anyway, I don't see why the uncompressed audio couldn't have been an optional download.
Just for reference, he was quoting there.
Yeah, I was quoting there,
sorry. If it's not obvious. Video, I can understand, you know, HD video.
Mm. Yeah, but...
Audio, no. I've got one album of... You know, FLAC quality audio, and that comes to, what was it? Oh, God.
I have a friend who has over 1 terabyte of it.
Yeah.
Shout out to
this one album kind of thing comes to about 350, 400 megabytes.
Yeah.
And that's the standard album size.
It is quite big. It is quite big. Like, you know, your average album would be averaging between 60 and 100 megabytes, right? If it was an MP3, varying from VO to 320, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, why can't they just store it in 320 and save a lot of space? They're still getting the same audio quality, right? They're saving on the space. They're saving on the decompression process or the unpacking of the audio files. So what made them choose to do this? Now, please correct me if I'm wrong, but that, as far as I know, that's the case.
I can only imagine, and this is just a wild theory, they forgot to bloody compress it, and they just shipped out the game.
That that could be it, alright. I mean, we have seen blunders like that before.
That's not a big blunder as blunders go for game
companies. No, it's not as bad as, like, SimCity, but.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Anyway.
That excuse just does not fly in any way, shape, or form.
What do we have next?
We have Mark Zuckerberg calling President Obama to complain about NSA surveillance. Now, this guy, Facebook, the head of Facebook, who has been accused of multiple kind of privacy concerns and leaks and outrages, and he is calling out the president about spying and privacy violation.
I think that's very hypocritical, to be honest with you.
It is incredibly hypocritical. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg published a harshly worded blog post today criticizing US government surveillance and calling its activities a threat to the internet. Zuckerberg says that most companies and people have worked together to make the internet a secure space.
Most companies except from Facebook, of course.
Yeah. And this is why he writes, I have been so confused and frustrated by the repeated reports of the behavior of the US government. When our engineers work tirelessly to improve security, we imagine we're protecting you against criminals, not our own government. Now, I remember that when someone tried to bring to Facebook a serious kind of security hole, they ignored him. So he used that security hole to hack Zuckerberg's Facebook, you know, wall and post how he did it.
I remember that.
Hmm.
He managed to pull private photos from his Facebook account as well, I'm sure.
Yep.
Like... I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is in any position now to be criticizing the US government for their spying and violation of privacy, etc., etc. Like, do you remember, was it Facebook Beacon that would show off all of your web browsing to people on your Facebook, or to friends of yours on Facebook? I think that was the case anyway.
Personally, I haven't heard of Facebook Beacon, but I can imagine it easily enough.
It was some while back. Let me just Google it there.
But I think we now have a new definition for hypocrisy.
This is
Pottle calling, you know, kettle black and everything. This is Mark Zuckerberg seeing a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
Not the government. He's seeing a competitor.
Beacon was a part of Facebook's advertisement system that sent data from external websites to Facebook for the purpose of allowing targeted advertisements and allowing users to share their activities with their friends. Certain activities on partner sites were published to a user's newsfeed. So the controversial service, which became a target of a class action lawsuit, was shut down in September 2009. So that's where that happened. Probably why we don't remember it.
It goes on here to say, Zuckerberg's frustration was likely escalated recently by a report in The Intercept, which said that the NSA has at times created fake Facebook servers and used them to infect computers with malware.
Jesus, the NSA have really gone off the rails.
Were they ever on the rails? I mean, we've only just found out what they've been up to.
I don't know. I don't particularly want to get into a whole NSA.
Let's leave that to other people.
Well, we're already flagged by them anyway for even mentioning them, so...
Oh, God, yeah. Talking about the NSA, though, our next thing...
Oh, dear, come on, man.
Well, that was the perfect segue, and I couldn't resist. You're up. I'll see you in Guantanamo.
NSA has been hijacking the botnets of other hackers. The NSA doesn't just hack foreign computers. It also piggybacks on the work of professional for-profit hackers, taking over entire networks of already hacked machines and using them for their own purposes. That's one of the surprising details to emerge from the latest Edward Snowden leaks. The big disclosure in today's story from The Intercept is that the NSA, by July 2010, had built a system called Turbine, designed to scale up its sophisticated computer hacking operations. The NSA has infected between 85,000 and 100,000 machines with implants. Now, according to the previous Snowden stories, with Turbine as its new command and control platform, the NSA can potentially boost that to handle millions of implants at once. Right, so basically, the NSA is everything they're trying to stop. They are becoming... They have... Wow. Wow.
It just boggles the mind, doesn't it?
Like, seriously, what the fuck are they playing at? Excuse my language now, but... Like, really? I don't have words to describe this. This is just
They're just very good at their job.
They're, like, creating, using, hijacking other people's botnets, right? Then using those botnets for your own purposes. Not disbanding the botnets. Not trying to apprehend who controls the botnets. Well, maybe they do that. But then they go on to continue using the botnets for their own personal, for their fucking invasion
personal
of privacy.
Use.
Yeah, for their personal use. It's just absolutely ridiculous. It's completely illegal, completely fraudulent, and
don't they have enough information? They must have so much information, it's going to take them years to sift through it.
That's the thing.
They're probably still looking for all the porn Keystone. Pictures that they took from Yahoo.
Isn't it Project Keystone? I think that is...
Oh, I don't know which
it's
project.
Like
there's so many now.
It's a search engine for all the information they gather.
Jesus Christ.
They haven't really worked out, to be honest. It's quite surprising that we've only come to find this out now, you know?
It's very impressive. Whatever else you want to say, the amount of shit they've managed to do.
It is impressive. Doesn't mean it's right, but it is
God,
impressive
no.
to keep this hidden from the general Ooh. Public for so long.
I liked, I'm not sure if you heard about this, but Congress themselves were found to have their computers infected by the NSA. The NSA was spying on Congress.
Really?
And that's when Congress lost its shit.
Oh.
All of us being, you know, surveilled, all of American citizens, which
they
NSA's
really
not even supposed
that.
To look at. They're supposed to be foreign. That's okay, that's all fine. Blatant disregard of privacy laws and everything, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of computers get hacked in Congress. No!
Shitstorm. It's just ridiculous.
But at least perhaps
nobody cares.
They might do
nobody cares until it happens to you. You know, that's the thing. I mean, let's say, oh, right, some bloke is after being killed in a car crash way up the country, right? Oh, that doesn't affect me. I don't care. When it happens to you, when it happens to one of your relatives, whoa, then it's a bad thing. You know? That's essentially what's happening here.
I'm not entirely sure that's a good example because there's millions and there's billions of people on this planet. You can't care for each and every one of them, but privacy is something that really does affect every single one of us. And if one person's privacy has been invaded, it's trivial to invade your privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Congress was fine with our privacy being invaded, but as soon as they were, you know, being looked into, they flew up the red flag. We can only hope then that now they will actually do something about it. But who knows?
No. As soon as they found out, right, they flew up the fucking American flag. They didn't fly up any red flags. They flew up the American flag saying, where's our rights? Where's our constitution? The thing is, they didn't give a shit about all that. They didn't give a shit
national
about all
security.
That beforehand.
National security.
National security.
It's the new terrorism, isn't it? For, you know,
it is.
Excuse.
It's just,
it's the new
ridiculous.
Terrorism.
I mean, the USA were bad enough before going into countries they had no business being in and to fucking declaring war. Now, with this whole prism
shit just send drones.
And everything.
Now they just send drones. Right, this next link. I'm sorry if it seems like we keep going on about the US and the NSA kind of thing, but this is actually quite interesting. Basically, it's from BBC News. US government set to give up net oversight powers. The US Commerce Department has announced its intent to hand over control to the wider net community.
What?
Yeah, it's asked net overseer ICANN to work out how to shift control from the US government to an alternative body. It said it wants the successor controlling body to be made up of both private companies and government representatives. This is something I didn't really expect.
So two things could happen here that I'm thinking of, right? First off, this could all work perfectly. We could have a third party overviewing everything. No country, no law. It would be completely international, you know? So no one country would have control over the internet. And it would be what the USA say they use at the, they say they use PRISM and everything for, you know? To fight terrorism and fight crime. But then the other side of that, if this goes wrong, what's going to end up happening is we have this body who can do whatever they like, that's not governed by any country's laws, that can act independently on its own, that can completely fuck up the internet, for lack of a better word. That's the two things I can foresee happening. You know, the two possibilities.
We've already gotten quite a few worrying signs about, you know, net neutrality being eroded with, you know, Time Warner and what was the other company?
Time Warner,
no,
was it Comcast?
Yes, I think it was.
Yeah.
Where they were merging, and companies like Netflix are already having to pay a bit more to make sure their speeds,
Netflix
make it usable for their customers.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure how this will, if this will help ensure net neutrality or bury it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, either way, it's quite an interesting times.
I don't really know, to be honest. It's just, it's one of those things that we're going to have to wait and see we're going to have to wait and see, really, and find out what happens, because nobody can really, nobody knows exactly what, in what way human nature will affect us. I mean, it could go completely right or completely wrong, and we just have to wait and see. So, up next, what we have is street lamps go green. A group of researchers at Ferment Alg, led by Pierre Calleja, have invented a street lamp that is powered by algae. Yes, algae. Those tiny microorganisms responsible for that green sludge you might find on your pond. This street lamp exploits the process of photosynthesis that these algae carry out. Photosynthesis is a system used by certain organisms to convert light energy into chemical energy that can be used as fuel. Using carbon dioxide, amongst other things, these lamps can store energy produced by these algae during the hours in which the sun shines, generating a super green and environmentally friendly lamp. If I'm not mistaken, they were planning on using these, like, planting trees that would give off light. You know, a very nice, cool light. And I mean, yeah, hopefully this would actually be implemented.
Right now, I'm just getting in my mind, you know, a vision of Avatar, where everything at night glowed.
Yeah, I think
because it was all plants.
I think we will eventually see that. I mean, they have the, have you seen those paths, or pavements, depending on when you live, that they, it's this coating that they put over it, and it, in the nighttime, it's a light blue, and it kind of illuminates it in a light blue.
I think I've heard something similar to that. I think it was in one, was it Sweden or Norway, something like that, they were gonna spray something onto the roads. So it would reflect, the headlights from, you know, from the cars to make it brighter. I'm not sure if I'm remembering it quite correctly, but
that
something similar
dangerous.
To that anyway. It wasn't, it wouldn't be a blinding light, it would just make it more obvious where the road is.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, like, if a corner's coming up or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, there's not much more to this article, but there is a video for you guys to have a look at.
So do check out the link.
That explains more. New device could help gunshot victims in seconds. The average adult has about 5 litres of blood, depending on size and weight. Gunshot wounds can cause a person to hemorrhage and die in fairly short order, particularly if the wound is in a difficult place to manage. A new invention could change that by packing and putting pressure on a gunshot wound in just 15 seconds. The product is called X-Stat. X-Stat is a clear syringe-like container that applies dozens of 12mm wide sponges directly into an open wound. Once the sponges contact the blood, swell up and cling to the wound, ensuring that they stay in place. Enough pressure is placed directly on the laceration to stop bleeding, so the victim can be transported for surgery.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, first off, just looking at the picture, it just looks like a whole bunch of sweets inside it. You see what I mean?
I do see what you mean, yeah.
Pull the plunger and spit a few out. It's like a futuristic-looking Pez dispenser.
Look quite odd, but, I mean, Jesus, if it works, then it works.
Yeah.
It's pretty...
I'm just wondering if one of those little things gets carried off into the bloodstream. I'm sure they've thought about that. It's probably further down in the article. Oh, they're all marked with an X that shows easily up in X-rays, but still, the chances of one of them being left behind is still quite...
Well, that's the thing. They can find them and take them out easily enough, I'd say.
Well, yeah,
I mean, they're quite small, but if you look at it, it's small enough to be able to see with the naked eye, you know?
Yeah. But that said,
I don't know what I'm saying.
Doctors have left, like, knives and cotton swabs and stuff like that are much bigger and not noticed them. Just the fact that these things can show up in X-ray won't stop them from being left behind. But, you know, you could always give it a try. Can only hope it works.
I don't really know if there's much more to say about that, apart from that it's quite...
No.
It's something else, and if it works, then that'll be amazing for us. Yeah.
It might have a bad flaw or two, but we are not the ones who make it, and we're not the ones who have to use it, so...
So, next one is, night vision contacts possible thanks to infrared technology. With a room temperature light detector thin enough, scientists can make contact lenses and wearable electronics that expand the person's vision. The engineering researchers of University of Michigan have developed a device that can integrate infrared light sensors with contact lenses, wearable devices, and cell phones. It's all thanks to graphene, a single layer of carbon atoms. Graphene can be used with a sensor to capture visible and infrared light, and it's so small that it can be integrated into contact lenses. So this is pretty cool. Night vision, yes. Instead of having to wear those bulky night vision goggles, you can do all your stalking and spying with just your contact lenses.
This is going to be a big help to Sam Fisher, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No? Don't get the joke?
I have no idea.
Splinter Cell.
I never played Splinter Cell, actually. I meant to.
Well, you've seen the pictures of Splinter Cell where he's got that big, bulky-ass night vision thing, you know, the three-lens kind of weird-looking thing. Mm. You could just throw that away. Just wear some contacts instead.
It says here at the end of the article, because the design can be made so thin, it can be stacked on a contact lens or integrated with a cell phone. If we integrate it with a contact lens or other wearable electronics, it expands your vision. It provides another way of interacting with your environment. Like,
I'm just picturing now, like, augmented reality kind of thing. Mm.
The stuff we're doing now with technology is just, I mean, it's the stuff of the future. And it's the stuff that a few years ago we thought wouldn't be possible for another 10. But here we are making these groundbreaking breakthroughs. You know, it's quite crazy to see all of this happening. And I mean, I'm not sure if you saw the article about the new arm or the new prosthetic arm that can actually sense things. That can actually feel.
I think I could read something about that, yeah.
It's crazy.
Which is brilliant.
It's absolutely crazy. I mean, the leaps and bounds we're after making in the past few years are just incredible. And there's so much more to come as well.
Bring on the future.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking now with this kind of contact lens thing, we can have a less douchey Google Glass.
Hopefully.
Because hopefully
the police won't know that we're wearing them either, so they can't pull us over.
Yes, because I've seen a few stories where, at least in America...
Didn't we cover a story for that?
I'm not sure, but I keep reading about the stories, and it's always best to remind people. People have been dragged out of cinemas and stuff like that, because police and all that thought they were recording the films. Never mind that the cause is going to be absolutely god-awful, or, you know, proven to the officers that it has been turned off and nothing has been recorded. They've been, you know, dragged out simply because they were wearing this piece of tech.
It's ridiculous. It is
while
absolutely
the
ridiculous.
Technology is accelerating, the law...
It's one of those proof of concepts that... Or it's one of those things that never really come to fruition. Now, if I'm not mistaken... I think it might have been Google, when they released their Google TV or something, or was it Apple or Google? When they released their TV or something, they released their device, and after they released it, they looked for people to actually join it, like Warner Brothers and AMC and all of those American networks, but very, very few actually wanted to, and then the whole thing flopped. Now, I think this is one of those cases where they haven't actually checked to make sure if things are legal. They haven't checked to put in kind of precursors to not get people fucking tickets for wearing their product, you know? They haven't put anything in place to protect the user from that. And I think it's kind of the same blunder that's happened before. And to quote famous TV series, all of this has happened before, and all of this will happen again.
Yeah. Hopefully, though, if this contact lens thing does come into being and mass market stuff like that, that the law will be ready. Hopefully, the kind of things that has been mentioned in the article will only be given to those that are supposed to have it. Night vision thing, because let's face it, most people won't need that in their day-to-day life. There are a few things you could obviously put onto these contact lenses to make things better. But anyway, that's a discussion for another day, I suppose.
Yeah. So up next, I'll let you have this one.
There is a video on this, and it does say it is graphic. So for those of you with weak stomachs, I'd advise you not to watch it. Dutch doctors replace woman's skull with 3D printed plastic copy. Doctors at the University Medical Center in Utrecht have saved a woman's life by carrying out the first skull transplant using plastic parts built in a 3D printer. The unnamed 22-year-old patient was suffering from a rare condition that caused inside of her skull to grow extra bone, which squeezed her brain. The growth was discovered after she reported severe headaches and lost her sight and motor control. If untreated, the extra bone would have killed her. It's usual for surgeons to remove part of the skull, normally when illnesses such as severe cranial concussion cause the brain to swell. But having to replace so much of the skull, as in this young woman's case, is unusual and fraught with problems. Wow. Using a 3D printer.
Medical applications for 3D printing already. Yeah. And it's not even printing off liver cells or anything. It's actually just using printed off plastic to be put into the head. Like, that's crazy. Replacing a
this
skull,
is such
I mean...
a better use of 3D printers than that shitty little plastic gun some Texan made. Yeah.
Sure, what happened with him?
I think he's still making the guns. He's
it kind of went out of
the legal thing though, is it? He can make certain parts of the gun. You know, one of those things. If you make that certain part of the gun, it's not dangerous. But anyway, any idiot with the right machine and enough metal and all that can make. A gun. Making it out of plastic doesn't really change anything. This, though, is different. This changes. I've seen a picture of this from another article, and basically the top half of the skull was replaced from what I saw of the photo.
The grueling operation was a success, and the patient has made a full recovery. Now, this is the most important part. 3 months later, and she is now back at work and is suffering no ill effects or visible scarring from the operation. Hell, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
And you've heard people who have suffered injuries that needed metal plates in their skulls. Well, this can make things, better. And it'd be a lot quicker and a lot cheaper, I'm imagining, using plastic instead of metal.
I'd say so.
And for convenience for the people that have to walk about with it in their heads, if they ever have to, let's say, go through a metal detector, it won't set anything off.
Like, I'm just thinking, those TSA body scanning machines, yeah?
Mm.
You walk through one of them, they just see your brain hanging out, chilling, smoking a durry. Just there, present.
Chilling out, relaxing.
Chillaxing. Relaxing. Thank you, Jack.
Let's not get into press pins.
But yeah, like, I think that'd be pretty cool, to be honest. I'll be able to...
That is freaking awesome.
Something I'm thinking of, right? If you could take off part of your scalp and show off your brain. Okay, I'm sorry, but that'd be kind of wicked.
I really love the future, you know?
The future is pretty cool, man.
Now, get me my holodeck.
Half of Mozilla's board reportedly resign over the new CEO choice. 3 members of Mozilla's 6-person board have reportedly left the software company over its appointment of Brendan Eich as the chief executive officer this week. According to the Wall Street Journal, former Mozilla CEOs Gary Kovacs and John Lilly, along with Ellen Siminoff, the CEO of education startup Schmoop, all resigned last week just before Eich's promotion was made public. Still on the board is Mozilla co-founder Mitchell Baker, LinkedIn co-founder Reid Hoffman, and Spiegel's online CEO Katharina Borg. Shirt, the journal says. So, they're getting pretty pissy about that, ain't they?
Yeah, the reason is because Brendan Eich, there was this proposition in California, I think it was, called Proposition 8, which would ban same-sex marriages. It was overturned, this proposition, but he donated $1,000 to the cause, of promoting Proposition 8. Now, over a certain monetary level, you have to reveal who you are and, what company or, place of business you work for. And people have taken offence that he supported this ban on same-sex marriages.
There's 2 updates here, right?
Yeah.
There's 2 updates. The update 1 is a previous version of this post characterized Eich's $1,000 donation in support of Prop 8 as an investment that has since been changed. And update 2 is a Mozilla spokesperson says the 3 board members ended their terms last week for a variety of reasons. Now, this could be bullshit, and it could not be, right? But he said 2 had been planning to leave for some time, and 1 since January, and 1 explicitly at the end of the CEO search, regardless of the person selected. So...
But the timing... Yeah.
The timing is everything, but does it make...
Even if what they say is true...
Does it make sense where they left? Does it?
Regardless, it's all about perception. They left at a certain time after this information was revealed. Whatever you say, even if it's true, it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It's not going to do them any real damage, let's be honest.
Yeah, but... Well, it does and it doesn't. That's the thing. It does and it doesn't.
Certainly not going to hurt them that badly.
Well, stock might go down a bit. Stock might have already gone down a bit. But I think they will be able to recover from this. Definitely.
Yeah, it'd be a blip, but over half of the board resigning over one guy.
Okay, so there's one more. We have one more thing for this week.
Well, one more in the tech, and then we got some quite fuckery what the fucks to
unfortunately,
give you.
Unfortunately, there's no This Week in Games, so but yeah, we'll make up with that. With more NSA stuff next week.
If we're still here.
If we're still here.
Suspended animation becomes a reality. Human trials are underway. Doctors are testing the use of suspended animation to save patients who otherwise couldn't be trusted in time to save their lives. The line between modern technology and science fiction gets a little thinner every day. The latest future tech to become reality is suspended animation, or cryostasis, or whatever you want to call it, the process of freezing a person so they can be reanimated at a later time. Doctors at Pittsburgh Hospital are currently beginning human trials on gunshot victims. The hope is that this method will buy surgeons extra time to save patients from normally fatal injuries. Now, I've read the rest of this article earlier today where I was looking for stuff for podcast tonight. And have you seen the Riddick films?
I have.
Well, you know the bit where they're travelling, you know, the big distances between stars and in their ships, well, and they get
it's kind of like deep
the stuff pumped into them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, from reading this, it sounds like it's near enough to saying they take out the blood and replace it. The patient is cooled to a temperature of about 50 degrees Fahrenheit as their blood is gradually drained and replaced with a cold saline solution, slowing cellular activity to a standstill. So it sounds a lot like the Riddick thing.
It does. I think this would be pretty cool. I mean, here they have a picture of from Alien.
Alien. Yeah.
Yeah, from them all waking up.
That was a nice touch.
That is a nice touch, yeah. So, yeah, it's saline solution, a cold saline solution, 50 degrees Fahrenheit. What's that in Celsius?
Yeah, what's that in proper temperature? Gonna be bloody nippy.
50, you have to see, it's 10 degrees Celsius. So that's a whole, 26 degrees below your usual body temperature? I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I just got a proving nod.
It's not gonna be... It's not going to be an instant process. It says it takes around 15 minutes.
I mean, Jesus, but, that's no time at all, really, if you're thinking about it.
And it avoids what previous cryogenic kind of things were heading towards, because the problem with freezing someone is that the water in the cells, gets damaged when you freeze them. And when you warm them back up, the cells are dead, or they get destroyed and they die. That was the problem with it. It was fine in theory, but just didn't pan out in reality. This doesn't really freeze them. It just
cools them down to a very low temperature, just enough to keep
them. Slows down the metabolism, makes it easier to work on them, safer to work on them. So I think this perhaps might have more of...
It shows very good potential in cryogenics, I'm thinking.
I would have more faith in this than that sponge thing we talked about earlier, because I think this might have more of a chance.
Definitely. Actually, when we were reading out the sponge thing, I thought we were reading this article, because I had heard a little bit about this article, but I hadn't really read through it. But I thought it was one and the same, but no, this definitely shows a lot more promise.
Yeah, that sponge thing I found about a week and a half ago. I mean, these are old show notes. This is why we have so much about the bloody NSA, because stuff keeps coming out. Constantly. But this was new today for me, and this is really freaking awesome. I like this.
So
I'm excited for that.
This week, in What the Fuck the Week... It's time to get the funny shit, guys.
Oh, the first one is a classic case of do not post your crimes on Facebook, or in this case, Twitter. Don't post that you're going to commit a crime. I'll let you read this out if you wish.
No, you can take this one, man.
Okay. Man arrested after allegedly pledging to shoot passerbys for 100 retweets. A 20-year-old Los Angeles man has been arrested after he allegedly threatened to shoot someone walking down the street in exchange for 100 retweets on Twitter, according to the LAPD. The LA Times reports that the man, Dakari Dijon McNuff, posted a photo on Twitter showing a rifle pointed out at the street with the caption, 100 retweets and I'll shoot someone walking. Yeah.
Yeah. So that takes attention-seeking to a whole new level.
And I think he's kind of lowballing it. 100 retweets? I mean, come on.
Say at least 1,000 there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going for something, why not aim a bit higher?
Aim high,
Aim high. So
a kitten, you die, someone eating a sandwich.
If you guys are ever
going
to shoot somebody, make sure you get at least over 1,000 retweets.
That's
maybe
what we learned
kitten,
today.
A pack of crisps. Alright? That's my advice to you guys.
Jesus. So, it was an air rifle, but still, it could be quite bad if someone was shot with one of those.
The views of the presenters in podcasts do not necessarily represent the views of TNT as a whole.
Nice.
Next up, we have man chops off his own hand with a homemade guillotine and is now threatening to amputate his arm. A man cut his own hand off with a homemade guillotine after enduring years of excruciating nerve pain. Mark Goddard built the contraption using an axe, some springs, and an old gatepost. The 44-year-old claimed he resorted to such drastic action because hospital staff had refused to treat the pains he suffered for over 16 years following a motorcycle crash. So, I just got a motorcycle, and I am worrying that I'll have to amputate my own arm. I should
just
not have to go to such extremes to get my pain stopped. There was an alternative, and that was having it done properly in a hospital, he explained. Holy
just
shit, that's a gruesome shit. Whoa!
For those that won't be looking at the page later, this thing looks like it's basically duct tape, string, and wood with an axe.
It's just an axe. Holy shit.
It looks like something you build out of, from Scrap Heap Challenge or something.
Yeah, Scrap Heap Challenge. Build your own guillotine to chop off one of your teammates' arms.
And he didn't even do a proper job of it. He had to cut off his hand afterwards, properly, because it only gone through halfway.
Really? Oh my god.
And then he threw his hand into a bonfire in his garden so surgeons could not sew it back on. Wow. There's that kind of old saying where you burn your ships so you can't retreat.
I like the bonfire touch, so they couldn't sew it back on. I mean, that's pretty good.
He thought this through.
Yeah, he did think this through. Mr. Goddard's pain still continue, and he's threatened the NHS with a deadline for treatment. Otherwise, he will chop his arm off at the elbow. Jesus Christ, this man is crazy.
I don't know whether I'm laughing from amusement or horror.
He's gonna go hand, elbow, halfway through his biceps, then all the way up to the shoulder, then he might start in his other arm, and then he won't be able to
use
the
fucking thing
anymore.
Arm? It's gonna fall off! What's he gonna do?
After being rushed to hospital, it was estimated that the former mechanic lost 2 pints of blood. So honestly, I'm surprised he didn't lose his life after doing that. What a twat.
Maybe he stuck his stump into the bonfire and cauterized it.
Oh, did he? Fair play to him.
Maybe he did. It doesn't say, but maybe.
I'd say he might. He might have. He might have.
Because if he's got the balls enough to chop his own hand off, I think he's got the balls to stick his stump into the bonfire.
Stick the stump into the bonfire.
I never thought I'd have to say that in my life, but there you go. I like the last two lines. Mr. Goddard was anxious to stress that he had undergone several psychiatric examinations since his difficulty started and always been given a clean bill of health. New doctors, please! They did not see this coming. New doctors. Holy crap.
So, what do we have next? Road rage
the next one that will make
crashes
you laugh.
After sticking middle finger at female motorist. I'll let you take this.
And we got video! Yeah, it happens about halfway, maybe 3/4 of the way through. Basically, the long and short of it is, this arsehole in this big old 4x4 was tailgating this woman for a few minutes. She was going at the legal, limit, about 50 miles an hour for the road. She wasn't speeding. She was going exactly what you're supposed to. He pulls alongside her. He flips her off. And then he loses control. He spins out. And he hits a sign on the side of the road. The woman's quite amused by this. Needless to say, I've never seen karma come back so fast.
I don't know.
She also says,
woman.
That's what you get. All on
like
video, buddy.
It sounds like a young boy. Ah, that's what you get, boy.
That's what you get. All on video, buddy. Mm-hmm. She's sent off the video to the police department, and they have identified the man. I'm not sure if that's going to be... I'm not sure if they press charges or whatever.
Was enough, really. You know? Bit of karma.
Yeah. I mean, it says here that she's been inundated with interview requests, including one from chat show host Jimmy Kimmel. I'm not entirely sure it justifies an interview on a, chat show, to be honest.
Well, to be honest, they talk about all sorts of shit on a chat show, so it doesn't really surprise me.
But I like that. I love seeing karma in action. I mean, this guy had no reason to be tailgating. From, you know, the brief glances at the road ahead when she moved the camera forward, the road was pretty clear. He didn't need tailgater. He could have just easily overtook her and just been on his way. But he decided to be a complete
road rage, man.
Douche.
Road rage. So, I'd say we should move on to our last thing of the night. Teenager Stian Yetterdal gets McDonald's receipt tattooed on his arm. As you do. So, a Norwegian teenager is seemingly proud of having McDonald's receipt tattooed on his forearm after being a little too active with the ladies. Stian Yetterdal, an 18-year-old from Skarer, says his friends gave him the choice between the receipt, a Barbie, or his own arse. Now I'm a little but I think this is all just fun. Maybe it's not as fun when I'm 50 or 60, but it's my choice. And we have a picture here of the glorious tattoo, and it looks like that was an expensive McDonald's meal.
Oh, Christ. Well, remember, it's in Krona or something like that, isn't it?
Oh, whatever, yeah, country. Yeah, so it's going to be cheap as chips.
So it's going to look more cheap expensive as chips. Oh, you should be shot for that.
I know. With friends like that, who needs enemies?
He was given a choice. I have a choice. I could have told them to fuck off.
I know. That's just...
Nobody forced him to do this. He wasn't drunk. He wasn't stoned. He didn't...
No. Apparently now, he was a little too active with the ladies.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
Well, he's not going to be active with the ladies anymore.
Definitely not. Do you want fries with that?
I got to wonder what the tattoo artist was thinking.
Yeah. I don't know.
Didn't he say, no, stop, think, what are you doing?
Probably, and then he was like, money, you know, why not? It's their own choice. You know, they're just...
I mean, look at the second photo as well. It's not a good idea, generally, to judge someone by their looks, but he looks...
looks a bit...
like a complete fucking idiot.
Yeah, just a little bit. Especially, I think the McDonald's tattoo makes it, though.
I just can't understand this. He wasn't forced, he wasn't drunk, he wasn't stoned, he was completely sober from...
He just had a choice between three, so...
Maybe he didn't want to be active with the ladies? Perhaps he was shagged out?
Perhaps he was.
You can't see right now what I'm face-palming. Oh, you gotta love humanity, the stupidity. It's endless opportunities for a laugh.
Like, just seeing some of this shit, I mean, homemade guillotine... Your man with the road rage. And then, like, McDonald's man? Seriously? I mean, what a fucking clown.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, there's still that fast food chain of Wimpy's, isn't there?
It's probably a good job
he didn't get himself tattooed with a Wimpy thing.
Definitely not.
Christ. I think that's everything we got for tonight. Sorry there was no games, really. And sorry for, you know... the one too many NSA things, but we will be making up for that next week, hopefully, by being there next week.
I will try my best to be there next week.
Mm. And it was good being back.
Definitely was. It was nice talking with you, Oliver. I was going to say all, and then I was like, wait, no, that's not right. I was only talking with Oliver, so...
Well, we're talking at them.
We're talking at them, yeah, we're not talking with them.
Okay, that's everything for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. I'm Oliver.
And I'm Owen. See you guys.
Good night.